Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Movies Hate You. My name is Rob, and I guess this is my show. We are sponsored by bmovies.com. It's b-movies.com. Go there and buy stuff. You'll put somebody's kid through college if you do. And we get a penny or two every time. This is, I think it's week four. Todd, my beautiful golden-haired, raven-haired. What are you now, Todd? Golden hair.
I'm frightened, is what I am.
The illustrious producer of this show, Mr. Todd Sheets, is with us.
Hello.
And I like the higher pitched voice. Is this week three or week four of Occupy Jackalope?
It must be four.
I think it's week four. This is week four of Occupy Jackalope, and we're occupying this space right here between 6 and 7 Central Time. I wish it was more, but Todd won't give me the passwords to get into the station so I can occupy more shows. But if any other DJs are listening, let me occupy your show.
Show host, yes.
Yeah, did I say DJs?
You did. I thought it was funny.
Aren't there people spinning music or spinning records on the station?
Not very many. Just a couple. Mostly it's all about shows and music.
It's all talk.
And music. It's like a mix, but you don't have both together. Usually it's like, unless it's like the Nightbreed show, they have both together. But with us, it's like talk, a couple of songs, but mainly talk. And then music's afterwards.
I'd like to throw a couple of songs into the mix occasionally. I've done that before, and that's been fun. Because then I could theme out the show. We could do like a, soundtrack show or something. Anyway, we could talk about it. Is that why we don't have a bed? Because this is not a music show?
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Just trying to figure it all out.
You can have a bet if you want.
Great big mystery that is talk radio. With us tonight again, as usual, is the wonderful, very conservative, Mr. Lee Peterson. Are you there?
Hello there.
Hey, welcome back. This is Movies Hate You's official movie reviewer. He's got some reviews. But before we get to that, how are you, Mr. Ree?
Ah, very good, Robison. Very good. End of my racist
impression. Now, is that hate speech?
That was hate speech, yes.
I think it was hate speech.
I think it was. If there are any Asian, Orientals listening to the show...
Orientals! You're going to get me fired. Just remember that. It has nothing to do with you. You're just some guy somewhere. They don't know who you are. You're just, on the line, so to speak. My name's on the banner. Todd's name's on the banner.
What?
He gets the fine from the FCC. He's going to come to me, not you.
When the heck did Chinaman become a bad word anyway?
Todd, feel free to edit out this guy's nonsense before he gets us all arrested. we're living in troubled times here. You know, there was a kid.
Actually, you can make fun of the Chinese all you want in America. It seems okay, but don't say a word against an African-American, even though I don't even like the term African-American, because most of them never been to Africa.
Exactly.
But they're still a Chinese-American, even if they never went to China.
Most of them have been to China or just got here.
I think you're racist now. Did both of
I
you.
Love the Chinese. Are you kidding? I'm huge. I love them. But I'm honest. A lot of Chinese people visit the homeland and come back and forth. Now, some are born here, but they don't even want to be called Chinese American. They're just Chinese and they live in America. It's all good.
You know, I have a Chinese girlfriend. The other night I said, honey, I want a 69. And she says, you want a beef with broccoli?
Ha
Is this on? Are we on?
I think you guys are both cowards because you're picking on the Chinese because it's safe.
I don't pick on the Chinese. I give them nothing but props, man. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
In my studio right here, Dr. Drumright, who owns the building I'm in, just got back a few years ago from China. He went and studied at the Shaolin Temple for his chiropractic and his acupuncture and his health teachings. He studied with the Shaolin monks. True story.
Now, is he Asian?
No, but I wish he was, because that'd make it even cooler. When I leave town, I try to find any city that I go to, it better have a Chinatown, because that's where I'm going to stay.
I don't like the sound of all this. I don't know.
It's just scaring you, that's all.
It's not sitting right with me.
Well, I'll tell you what. About 6 months ago, I was the one sitting in the only Shaw Brothers theater in existence in America in San Francisco watching a nonstop barrage of chop socky awesomeness. And where were you then?
Where is that?
That's in San Francisco Chinatown, buddy.
Yeah,
I was there.
Now, Rob.
I was there. I've been there.
Go to the Shaw Brothers cinema, man.
I just lost points in the...
the whole argument. You're gone now.
Fan circles. No, this is a different argument. This is about my stupidity when it comes. I have a movie show and I don't know this. I'm going to be chastised over email. Oh, and you can email us at movieshateyou@gmail.com, and you could say what a wannabe loser fanboy I am for not knowing that there's an actual Shaw Brothers theater. Now, I knew there were some Shaw Brothers prints in existence. I think the Alamo Theater has a butt ton of them. But I didn't know there was an actual Shaw Brothers theater. Is it up to Shaw Brothers specs? I mean, the Shaw Brothers are notoriously known for having prints that you can't play in any other theater but a Shaw Brothers theater. Did you know that?
I knew that they didn't always do that, but they did do that after a while.
Ah. Well, that's the reason
They were in, like, whatever, that 70mm stuff that, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
IMAX came along and kind of tossed that out, so.
I think that's why it's been so difficult to release their stuff on DVD over the years, and their stuff was so prevalent in the bootleg market. It was just difficult to transfer the prints. But I'm speculating now. I mean, what do I know? I didn't know there was a Shaw Brothers theater. But I'll tell you one thing. This is a great segue to my very special guest. We have a very special guest with us, gentlemen, and I want you both to, I don't know, bow down in respect. An old school genre veteran, the man, one of the men who taught me this business. And no, it's not Joel Reed, Mr. Ree. And it's not Dave Friedman. It is Dirty Harry, my dad. Are you with us, Pop?
Yeah, I just fell asleep, but I'm awake.
Oh, there he is. Look at that.
Yeah, I just had some Chinese food.
Oh, speaking of people who love the Japs, here's my dad.
Okay.
What was that thing you watched the other day? You were watching something, you showed me a videotape about the Japanese in World War II.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very good.
Well, what was on the tape?
Japanese.
I think, oh, jeez.
What was on the tape there?
You are really my dad. Let's just get that straight. How old are you?
Yeah. How old am I?
Yes. I think you're my dad. But how old are you?
I hate to tell you, you know, I mean, you really want to know the truth?
40? No, tell me.
40?
Tell the world. The world is listening. Millions of people are listening.
Oh, okay. 77.
There you go. Look at that.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Ree, I wish... You sound like that when you're 77.
I wish I was 77.
It's way past his bedtime. He's probably had his Metamucil already. He probably wants to sit down and watch a Steven Seagal movie, but no, we had to call him, and he still sounds great.
Just watching that too, Steven Seagal.
Which one?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a new one. I think upcoming one.
Well, the new ones aren't so great, though. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
Hey.
You know, it's not the old ones.
Well, now, now in a fight, would Steven Seagal kick Chuck Norris's ass?
Chuck Norris, yeah.
Yeah, he would?
He's really fast.
He's fast now?
Yeah. Huh?
Let's say back in their prime, who would win?
I don't know. I think it'd be pretty close. I mean, Steven Seagal's got some bad moves, and he's real fast. I mean, he's fast. You don't even know what the hell he's doing. That's how fast he is. But
And you think Chuck Norris is too slow?
No, I mean, Chuck Norris is good, but look at Bruce Lee, what he did to him. He chopped
yes.
him up.
Yes, you're referring to Return of the Dragon?
Yeah, any one of those, you know, Enter the Dragon, Return of the Dragon, The Lost
no.
Dragon.
No, but that, The Lost Dragon, there's no such movie. There,
no?
No.
Should be.
Peach Dragon, that's a good one.
Peach Dragon?
Yeah.
42nd Street Peach Dragon?
Oh, well, I haven't seen that one.
That's like that just opened up a wormhole saying that. 42nd Street Peach Dragon. Anyway.
But
it was Return of the Dragon. Bruce Lee only fought Chuck Norris once.
Yeah. As far as I know, yeah. I mean, he was good. You know, Chuck Norris.
Now, I've introduced you as a man who taught me everything I know about genre films, and you don't you're speculating if Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris fought once. We'll give you a pass. He gets a pass, guys. Stop picking on him.
What do you mean, stop picking on him? We're not picking on him at all. You are.
Yeah, right.
All right, so Steven Seagal and Van Damme, who wins?
Is this a pie eating contest?
No, it's a fight. It's a fist fight. Now they are known to be mortal enemies. In fact,
really?
The Expendables. You saw the Expendables, Dad, didn't you?
Yeah, I have.
Right.
Yeah.
And you like that, right?
Real good. Yeah, that was some fair stuff in there.
Now they're making a part two. They're making a part two.
Oh.
And they're all coming back. Except now, Van Damme is joining them. Chuck Norris is joining them.
Ah.
Who else, Lee? There's a couple other guys.
Well, who wasn't in the first one?
Seagal wasn't in the first one. And he's not in this one.
Right. In this one. Okay.
No. And Schwarzenegger and Willis are coming back, and I guess they're going to have bigger roles.
Right.
No, Seagal's not coming back because Van Damme would only do it if Seagal didn't. He told Stallone.
Oh, well. Must be a rival.
I would rather have Seagal. Van Damme, I can't even understand half the words he says.
Well, are you watching it for the dialogue? I mean,
you know what? Frenchie can go on back home. I'm tired. I can't hear him.
Can you understand what Jean-Claude Van Damme says in his movies, Pop?
Sometimes, yeah.
Can you understand what we're saying tonight on the radio, Pop?
Just about, yeah.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
I hear the bells.
Yeah, the bells are going.
What, are you in church again, Pop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always go there before I get into a fight, you know.
I didn't mention that my father's a priest. I mean, he's not my father, he's my father, you know what I mean? So I was telling the guys last week. In fact, it wasn't even we weren't even on the radio. I think we were talking offline, and I was telling them all about how you used to take me, starting when I was about 7 years old. You used to take me into New York City, into Times Square. So that would have been between years of about 1977 to 1984, around that time. Almost on a weekly basis, you were bringing me into New York City to watch movies.
Yeah.
And the experiences there with the people in the theaters, the craziness on the street,
right.
Remember how all the theaters had the TVs outside with the previews running on them?
Oh yeah.
And the theaters had the big cardboard. There were like wooden cutouts of scenes from the movies.
Hey, I remember when I went to the movies in Newark, they had chairs.
They had chairs. They still have chairs at the movies.
Well, they did have chairs. I went to Lowe's and some of those movies over there. See the old movies, the westerns, the old karate movies, and they had chairs.
Okay.
I was upstairs, and they had chairs, wooden chairs. Now, that's going back.
Oh, there was no movie seats, like cushion seats.
No,
they were just
no.
Chairs. Now, what was that, when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. They had movies then?
Of course they had movies. Dark. Yeah.
So you would go into a movie theater back then. What was this? In what year?
Oh, God. 50s? Man, 50s, I guess.
They didn't have chairs. They had chairs in the... They had cushioned chairs in the 50s. It had to be before that.
Yes. Man, early 50s. They had chairs upstairs. I don't know about downstairs, because I didn't go down. It was too crowded. But you had the wooden chairs upstairs.
Oh, and downstairs where people were just standing?
No, there was a seat down there, I imagine. I didn't look. I didn't bother. I went upstairs.
Oh, you were in the balcony.
I was in the balcony. Yeah, they had wooden chairs.
And yeah. Okay. And so, let me ask you. But that's not really a crazy story about going to the movies.
No.
What's your craziest story about going to the movies?
Crazy.
Yeah. You want to tell people about your experience with the one usher that was giving you and your friends a problem?
Oh, that was in Elizabeth, yeah. Yeah, we used to sneak in the movies.
You used to always sneak into the movies. Now, this is what people want to hear about. They don't want to hear about chairs.
Oh, okay.
No, Mr. Ree fell asleep.
Chairs are good, you know. You can hit somebody over the head with them.
Oh, anyway, I see.
We used to sneak in the movies. And we have a couple guys, we go in, we pay them, everybody chip in. One guy would go in and sit down by the exit and open the door a little bit. And we're in the back, and we sneak in through the exit. So we're crawling along, you know, people say, what is this? Hey, is that a rat or? No, it's me.
You're crawling on the floor.
You know, I'm crawling on the floor, I'm trying to get a seat, you know. I don't
right.
have any money. Oh, okay, so... The usher would come down with a searchlight. You know, I'd get that light out of my eyes, will you? So I just came in. I said, why are you crawling? I don't feel good, you know. So I'm sick to my stomach. But anyway, I got to find my seat, you know, and I just, I finally found it. But he used to kick us out, you know.
The usher believed your story, though, and let you sit down.
Oh, what stupid ushers. What do they know with flashlights, you know? I'll take you to your seat, you know. There's 100 seats in there. What are you going to do, take you to my seat? Like, it's a hard seat to find? But anyway...
They don't have ushers anymore. Do you know that, right?
No, they don't have that.
They got rid of them. They got rid of them.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Because, they can get in a lot of trouble. Especially with us when we were there. But we used to go in through the front, too. And if he wasn't looking, he was watching a movie, we sneak in behind him like he wouldn't see us. And then my buddy Mickey, you know, he would yell out, "Hey, sneaking in the show! You son of a bitch." Oh,
your sorry. Own friend would do this.
Yes, he would do that, yeah. Oh, he'd done a lot of things, you know. He would start a fight in the tavern, you know. He'd go up to a guy and say, you know, my buddy over there is looking at your girl. He says he would like to go to bed with her. He says, what? You know, and they start a fight.
Ah.
But that's the way they was, you know.
It's a good friend. It's a good friend. A lot of fun.
Yeah, but sneaking in the movies, that was great. Because we snuck in that one movie. That one guy was a real... He was an ass, I mean. I didn't like that guy. He always catching us, call the cops, you know. And so, Me and Jay, that's one of my good buddies. We used to go to the island and over the log cabin and the wild goose years ago.
Nobody knows what this stuff is, though.
Nobody knows that. That was a good thing. That was the good stuff.
But this anyway, is all taking place in New Jersey, in central New Jersey.
Yeah,
I just want the listeners. People are listening from all over the world, and I want them to hear. What theater are you talking about? Is this the Ritz in Elizabeth?
The Ritz Theater.
The Ritz Theater in Elizabeth. Okay.
And we used to go in there a lot. That's where I used to take you for the karates.
Took me there. Yes, I remember you taking me and you took me to all the theaters, but I remember you taking me and my sister to see Good Guys Wear Black there at the Ritz. I remember that.
Yeah, Chuck Norris,
You took me to see Black Bell Jones there, too.
Oh, yeah, he was good. Yeah, I liked him.
Great movie. Did you get that on DVD, Rob, when it came out recently?
I didn't yet, no.
Man, you better. It's going to be gone.
I'm going to get Mr. Reed to download it for me.
No.
Ooh.
Oh, so devilish.
I'm going to get it for my dad for Christmas. How do you like that?
There you go. It's in a collection of four.
Now, four movies. Yeah, this must have been a re-release of Black Belt Jones, but I remember boobies in that movie, and I was way too young to see boobies, but I was fascinated by these boobies. Now, I've had many therapists over the years, and they all say that you shouldn't have been taking me to see boobies and killing and beheadings and slashings and all this stuff, and I say they're wrong.
That was great stuff. I mean, what do you think he's going to turn into a murderer or something?
That's what they think. That's what these doctors think these days.
Well, I guess certain people might, they don't have a brain or whatever. I mean, we have brought up different,
Now, what if I turned into a murderer? Would you be upset that you took me to see Mother's Day when I was 12?
Mother's Day, that was a great movie. That was really a kid's movie,
That was a kid's movie, yeah.
Yeah.
It was for kids, yeah. That's what I thought.
No, you didn't turn it.
That's what I thought I was going to see when I said, we're going to go see Mother's Day. This is great. I love my mother.
Yeah,
and then we go in this. And the heads are coming off.
Yeah.
And a rape.
Mother's Day card to them kids.
Yeah, I know.
That was a great movie.
Were there other kids? Were there other parents? I mean, surely you weren't the only dad bringing his son to these movies.
I imagine there was some there, yeah.
I don't ever remember playing with other kids at the theater. They didn't have a little playland area like they do now in the theater, in the grindhouses.
I don't know. I've heard stories about.
It was a different kind of playground. You had to be careful going to the bathroom alone. Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets a kick out of this. He thinks this is funny. I'm mentally damaged.
I have a question, Rob. What did your mom think about all this? I mean, was she okay, or was this?
They were plotting against me. These two.
Was it more like dad's taking me out, and we just won't tell mom where we're going, or was she in on it? Did she?
I don't think it was she used to drop us off at the movie theater.
Drop us off, yeah.
And then pick us up.
Cool.
I didn't think nothing. Oh, she didn't know. She knows that nothing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Was she a movie lover too? Did she go to different kinds of movies?
She liked different kind of movies. Love movies.
Those stupid love movies.
Girly movies.
I hate love movies.
And, stuff.
You just invented a new genre, love movies.
Yeah, there you go.
My mother used to take me to the movies, and, like, in summer, and when, during the week, my mother would take me to see, like, Herbie Goes Bananas, or Blackbeard's Ghost, or something, and then, I'd go see, or Popeye. My mother took me to see Popeye.
Oh.
And then my mother and I snuck into Seems Like Old Times right after we saw Popeye. We snuck into the movies together. Rest her soul. She taught me how to sneak into the movies. But those are the kind of movies my mother would take me to see. And then the weekend came and the good stuff came out. You know, then it was, you know, we're going to see The Last Dragon and Don't Go in the House, double bill.
Don't Go in the House. Oh.
You like that one, right?
Oh, very good. The Last House.
Bob, did you ever feel like you shouldn't be seeing these kind of movies, or was it just, did you just take it?
No. It was all one bit. I didn't make a distinction. I really didn't. Like, back then I wasn't saying, oh, my mother's taking me to these movies. It was just this world of cinema, you know, that I was just taking in at every opportunity. It was, you know, there was no difference to me between, Zombie or The Cannonball Run. You know, there was no difference. They were coming from the same place. They were made in the same studio, as far as I was concerned. The same people made them, whatever. You know, there was no distinction. I didn't think about it that way. Mm-hmm. It was just like I knew I went to see, you know, certain kind of movies with my dad and certain kind with my mom. I don't think that I even was upset. You know, I loved all those movies equally. It wasn't like I was like, oh, great, I got to go see another Herbie movie. They just put it out for, you know, great. Stupid Volkswagen again. I was just as happy to see that as I was to see Kill and Kill Again. You know, they were, and then at home, movies were part of the diet. You know, the whether it was the 4:30 movie on Channel 7, which, you know, would have a Godzilla week, a horror week, a Planet of the Apes week, etc. We would stay up late that and watch Creature Feature on Channel 9. I think it was Saturday nights. Remember that, Pop? I think he fell asleep.
I remember Zachary.
Oh, you remember Zachary? Oh, well, that's before my time.
Great show. Yeah, you never seen it. I got a couple films on that, you know, videos. I think I gave you one.
I think Mr. Ree has a few. Yeah, I have one.
What are you doing? Yeah, I remember that guy. He was good.
He's still alive. He's pushing 100 years old. Yeah, he's still kicking.
I gave you his autograph. I got his autograph for you, Pop, at a convention.
Yeah.
He wants to know what happened, why you never came to see him.
Well, I just didn't have the time. You know, I'm a busy man. I ain't got time for that. Autograph's good. But you got the autograph from the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
That's right, Ben Chapman. Ben Chapman, he was a great guy. I hung out a few times with Ben Chapman. I have to say, he was a great soul. Mr. Ree and Todd, hearing this story, the little bit of it, anything strike you weird about it? Was it everything? Because
I think it sounds cool.
Exactly. Now your dads didn't do the same with you?
Actually, yeah, we had the indoor grindhouse here, the Empire Theater. We called it the indoor drive-in. Is actually what I called it. It was a grindhouse, but it was. I always went down there. My dad would go over to the bookstore, which was next door. Time for news. I'd grab the latest Monster magazines. We'd go over there and we'd watch. It was owned by AMC, and there was like 6 theaters in there, and they played trash morning, noon, and night. You know, the kung fu movies, things like Blazing Stewardesses, Squeeze Play. You know, that kind of stuff. Also. All the horror movie stuff, you know, it all played there. All the Lucio Fulci stuff played there. So, you know, I'm in there watching Driller Killer, Drive-In Massacre, or whatever was out. And, you know, I'd enjoy the hell out of it. I'd go there. I'd stay all day. It was awesome.
But is this something you did with your parents?
Yeah, well, my dad would go sometimes. Sometimes I'd just hang out. It depended, you know. He would go with me, though, for sure. And my uncle went with me a lot.
So this was just normal for your family as well?
It was a normal thing.
We didn't have, and it wasn't until, you know, maybe like Freddy Krueger or something, that there was any kind of media backlash to horror films. I mean, by that time, you know, I was already, you know, 17, 18 years old, hearing all this nonsense about horror movies and stuff. I'm like, wait, I've been watching this stuff since I'm 5 years old. What are you talking about? This is ridiculous. The stuff that, you know, was happening in the Freddy Krueger movies was like, you know, a kid's movie. You know, it was a kid's show. It was corny. You know, and thinking of back to some of the stuff that my dad and I were going to see. So there was no, I don't think there was any kind of pressure. There was no one saying, oh, you shouldn't do that. You know, no, that's just what.
It was a better world.
Well,
I would say.
Yeah? You would agree with Todd?
Yeah, I think it was. You know, I mean, nothing happened. I mean, you know. I've been going to move horror shows and bloody movies for years and years. It never bothered me.
Well, some of the most dangerous stuff was happening in the theater. Now, I remember in New York, people would throw fireworks at the screen at the Liberty in Elizabeth. I remember people throwing bottles at the screen. I remember fist fights in the theater. I remember perverts, all kinds of weirdos.
Yeah.
Hookers, bums. This is all part of the scenery when you went into one of these theaters to go see a Bruce Lee triple feature, 6 hours of films that ran continuously all day. So, you know, we'd walk in and it'd be halfway through Enter the Dragon. You bought your ticket and it's halfway through the movie. So you're going to stay for, you know, two more movies and then half of the movie you missed when you walked in. And in the meantime, there's every flotsam and jetsam walking in the thing. And babies crying, people yelling at the babies, people yelling at each other.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. But
we do that now only with people who use cell phones and texting.
Yeah, now it's just cell phone. You know, I always, it's annoying. Cell phones are annoying, but I remember what people used to do. Have you ever been to a really rowdy theater in an inner city grindhouse? The cell phone issue is, it's just pansy stuff. You know, it really
is.
Yeah,
but it's annoying. It wouldn't happen in those days because someone would be jacking someone in the forehead.
That's what I'm saying. That's why maybe, you know, there's something about that. There's something about that, the energy that was in these grindhouses that kept people in line to a certain degree. And there was like a chain of, social order, you know, where the real crazy people got to throw fireworks at the screen and nobody messed with them. Because, if this person threw fireworks at the screen, then what are they going to do to me if I try to stop them? You remember any of this? He's oblivious. He went in and watched the movie, this guy. Meanwhile, he went in, he sat down, got his popcorn, he watched the movie for 2 hours. And meanwhile, I'm looking around the whole time thinking I'm going to die and catching some of the movie. And he's like, yeah, I guess all that went on. Yeah, well, yeah, firework, whatever.
You know,
yeah.
That was a natural thing there. You know, I mean, there's certain guys that went there just to have a little trouble. They used to throw things down in the balcony down below. I used to sit down below. I used to get hit in the head with popcorn or marble or something.
Marbles?
Then I go upstairs, you know. So that's why I stayed up there. Because it was less dangerous, really, if you look at it, than being down below, getting hit in the head with stuff. So you sit upstairs, you know, and then you start throwing stuff down. I don't know.
Now, Errol, was there anything really like the weirdest, craziest thing you've ever saw in the theater? Do you remember anything?
Yeah, I was sitting in the aisle. I was laying down in the aisle with a girl.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah. That was crazy. It was in one of those off seats. You know, you used to have the balcony, and then they had the side.
Yeah.
Where you could sit. Yeah, I used to sit there with the girl. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. I was there. I remember. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Before my time.
That was nice. I liked that. That was cool. Yeah. I had a lot of fun going to the show. You know?
Yeah.
Really didn't get hurt. There's always wise guys. You know, there's always some guys. You know, there's always somebody. There's always dictators, you know, so there's always wise guys and smart asses. Going to do something, make noise, start trouble.
See, now this is a man from a different generation. You know, all this. Mr. Ree, Todd, if you brought one of your children to a theater and let's say there were fireworks being thrown at the screen and somebody drank a beer and threw the bottle at the screen because they didn't like what the guy said, would you ever bring your child back to that theater?
I don't think so.
My son, I would, not my daughter.
Mr. Ree?
No, I mean, that's, it's hard for me to even fathom that kind of, I mean, I get really prickly when people are talking at all, or cell phones or anything like that. I mean, I'm a shusher. I like the experience of being quiet, especially when tickets right. cost $16. You know, I think you deserve a little bit of.
See
the
now.
Last time I grew up in Nebraska, so and I think I'm also older than Rob and Todd for sure. So I think I was of a slightly different generation for movies like Freddy Krueger stuff, the gory movies. I was already grown up by the time those came out, so it wasn't really an issue of me going to see them when I was underage. I don't think there really were gory movies when I was underage, or at least they weren't getting played theatrically, so that was really never an issue, you know. I know that I, because of my parents' sort of puritanical attitudes towards sex, I think that if we knew there was any nudity in a movie, I probably wouldn't have been allowed to go. So that was more of an issue than violence. But the last time I was in a theater where there was a really rowdy crowd was the Night of the Living Dead remake. And what is that, 1990?
Mm-hmm.
I thought here in New York, in some now long-gone theater, and it was packed, and it was an urban audience, and they were loud and yelling at the screen. And if the first 5 minutes, I was like, "Oh, come on, give me a break." And then I realized, "Oh, you know, this is actually the perfect response for this kind of movie."
Yeah, that's the show. That's the show.
The
last movie. And oh, by the way, my dad and men of his generation would say you're a wimp. By the way, Mr. Ree.
Oh yeah.
Right, Dad. He's a wimp. He fell asleep.
Well, what would make me a wimp?
No. Yeah, because you're a shusher. Pop, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You would say he's a wimp, right? Just say yeah.
Who?
No, forget it.
You're talking about me.
He's watching a movie. He's not even listening to what we're saying.
I'm listening.
The last movie I saw in a grindhouse in Times Square was Alien 4. Resurrection. And that was what set the tone is during the trailers, there was the new James Bond movie was coming on, and I guess it was Pierce Brosnan at that point. He walks on screen in the circle, classic James Bond, slow walking, dun, and he turns, and as soon as his head comes on screen, somebody shoots a laser pointer dead set in his forehead, right in the center of his forehead. A laser pointer hits it, and the crowd just goes bananas. Just insane, and that just set the tone for the whole thing. And not a great movie, but the audience made it a great movie.
Yeah.
That and Dead Alive. I saw Dead Alive in Times Square as well. Those were a couple of the last films when they still had
House. You know, after so many years, I mean, you know, then it started to get quiet. But you know, different movies. I used to go with my wife. We used to see Ten Commandments and. All of them, Solomon Sheba and that. And the movies were different, you know, it's quiet. The only thing, like somebody, when you're sitting down, they want to go past you all the time.
Yeah.
So we try to sit near the end.
Right. Ten Commandments is like 3 hours. I mean, people had to get up to go to the bathroom.
I used to sit through that, you know, and it was quiet. It was different atmosphere. It was a different...
Now, there was no... There was no karate in Ten Commandments,
no,
right?
No, there was no...
So you didn't like that?
No, I liked the movies. I mean, I like movies, you know. I liked Ten Commandments. That was good.
Now, is this when people would dress up to go to the movies? You would put on a suit?
Yeah, we get dressed up and go to the movies, yeah. When Ben-Hur first came out, it was packed, you know. I mean, that chariot race was great. But, you know, it was a different atmosphere. The older people and more quiet. The only thing, once in a while, you get somebody sitting in front. Oh, now I know what's going to happen. And they start telling, please don't tell me about it. And, lady, please, can you be quiet?
They
I
had
don't
seen
want
it.
To know what's going on. I want to see the movie and find out. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're sorry. I'm sorry too. I came here.
So there.
Find another seat.
There have been jerks in the theater since the beginning of theaters, I'm sure.
Beginning of time, I guess.
Yeah. Around the campfire.
Well, you get that once in a while. You're not all the time. Well, it's great, you know. But
didn't you tell me once they were blowing? They were. Movie. Didn't you tell me one time they were putting odors into the air? They had a machine for a movie you went to see.
Oh yeah, well that was what movie? Was eating, smell of food.
Somebody was eating. Go ahead, say it again. Yeah? No, say it again.
What?
What? Somebody was eating, and you could smell what they were eating on screen.
Yeah, you could smell what they ate, bacon or eggs, whatever. In New York, I went to that big theater where they had that, and you know you could smell the food. Yeah, it was great, and the sound. I mean, they had surround sound.
Now, are you sure?
Chairs, red carpet.
You sure it wasn't somebody cooking in the theater, just making a little snack for himself?
No, I looked around. There wasn't nobody cooking. No. Yeah.
Do you remember what movie it was?
No, God, man. No. I think it was... the hell that movie came out with the big balloon. Crazy.
Around the World in 80 Days?
No, it was a weird one.
The red balloon?
There was a movie called Scent of Mystery that had a gimmick, right?
Maybe that was it.
Smell gimmick. I'm not sure if it was a card that you scratched and got the smell from that, like John Waters did later with
right.
polyester, or if it was actually pumped through the ventilation or something. That's from the 50s.
You know, but
Eddie Fisher was in, I think.
Smell-o-vision, right? Wasn't that Smell-o-vision?
Smell-o-vision, I think. Yeah.
Smell-O-Vision was with John Waters. No, that's
no,
Odorama.
That was Odorama. Right.
Yeah.
Sense.
Yeah.
I liked it. It
was Eddie Fisher in that movie?
Eddie Fisher was in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You scratched one of his fingers and it smelled like Debbie Reynolds, and scratched another finger and smelled like Elizabeth Taylor. Is that? I'm confused.
You know how to degrade a family show, Mr. Ree.
So sorry. Hey,
Pop, you know, you started this story about this usher that you guys had a beef with. Whatever happened with the usher?
Oh, yeah. Well, finally got him.
But you got him?
Yeah. Well, you know, he was really bugging us. He was always, you know, catching us. Or my buddy Mickey, he used to scream and yell, you know, they're sneaking in the snow, the show, you know, just for the hell of it. But then sometimes he was quiet and we would sneak in. But anyway, we went back out, me and Jay, and he says, you know, this guy here, we got to put a little scare into him. I said, okay. So he had a gun.
Ugh.
So we can take the gun. I said, no guns. No way. He says, look, it doesn't even shoot. It doesn't have a pin. Just take it. And when he says something, he takes that nightstick that he has, and he puts it in his hand like, you know, you're going to get it, you know?
Oh, the guy he had a nightclub he carried.
Yeah, yeah, the kid, yeah. He was a smart-ass kid. And I says, well, you take the gun and put it in your hand and say, yeah, yeah, how do you like this? You know, don't scare the hell out of him. So I says, you know, I don't know. Jay says, come on, you can do it. You know, you're always daring, you know. I said, I don't think so. I don't want to get you in real trouble with this shit. You ain't gonna get. What are you gonna get? And anyway, he says, my mother's boyfriend is the judge in Elizabeth. So if you get caught, don't worry about it. Oh, I says, okay. So I went there with the gun, right?
So you take the gun into the movie theater.
And to the movies, yeah. And there he was. There he's putting that club in his hand, you know, like, come on, you guys. I'm waiting for you. He took it out and says, like, come on. So I went in my pocket and took out the gun. Well, I'm telling you, he jumped up to the ceiling. Don't shoot! Don't shoot! I says, you asshole, you got to get it now. He called the cops. He was screaming at a cop. I tell you, I ran out of that theater. I turned around. I flew out them doors. I don't know how I got through them. I flew out them doors. Everybody scattered. And
All your friends scattered.
Everybody scattered. I went down the street, and I went out a little bit, you know, down the street, and I turned left, went down, went around a corner, I heard sirens. I says, oh, shit, I'm in trouble now. And I had the gun with me yet, and I went across the street, and the car was coming, and I hit it, and I went right over the car.
Hood.
I tumbled right over the hood. You know, I was young, that didn't bother me. I got up and I said, hey, you okay? Hey, you, I get lost, you know. I kept going. So I knew a lot of places. So I said, I'm going back in this one alley I know. I said, and I'm going to hide.
He knows the alley.
Eh?
You knew the alley for some reason.
I knew a lot of alleys over there. Just to never find you. And it was cars back there in this one. But that was the closest one. I couldn't go any further because I had to get out, you know, get away because they were looking for me. He told them, you know.
He called the cops, yeah.
Sure, he had a gun. Hey, that's all you need to know. They see me with a gun, they're going to start shooting. Who knows? But anyway, I took the gun and I threw it in the weeds. I went out in the back. It was real dark. It was a food house there, like a food warehouse. And there was trucks there. So I went in the one truck. It was a little squeaky door, you know. And I went in and I just stayed in the back of that truck. And then I heard him, Teddy, you went this way. Oh, I think he's over this way. And I shoot flash, like, you know, from the window, you know, from the truck. It was an open truck, like, you know, beat up thing. And I don't think anybody was even driving it. But I got in it. I figured I'd hide in there. If I go underneath the truck, you know, they're probably going to find me. They got searchlights, and they're looking like, oh, God. So then all of a sudden, it got quiet. I said, oh, time for me to get out of here. They opened the door, but it made a lot of noise, squeaky. I should have brought oil with me.
You should have carried oil with you. Who would have known? You should have carried oil with you. Now, how long were you in this truck?
Oh, 10 minutes, I guess. They were looking all. There was a big lot. There's a lot. The water was there, the river. You know, they were looking all around. They know I went back there. They're pretty sure they knew. I thought I seen them there. This then. Anyway, I got out and there he is. I says, oh, shit. They must have known I was, could come out sooner or later. I just froze right up against the truck, put my hands up. They searched me. Where's the gun? Where's the gun? I said, what gun? I said, oh, gun. Yeah, there was a gun. I didn't have no gun. He said, well, we're going back to the city and we'll find out if you had the gun or not. I didn't have no gun. What are you talking about? So I went back there, and they started to really, you know, give it to me. You know, scare the hell out of me. They bring me into the room, and I said, okay. I had a gun. The usher identified me.
Oh, they brought the usher in.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's the guy with the gun. Yeah, that's him.
He was glad to tell them.
Dirty Harry.
Yeah, he was glad to tell them.
So I was... I told him, you know, I threw the gun. I said, yes, I did. I said, the gun don't shoot. Doesn't have a pin. I put a scare in the guy. This is what happened. I told him the story. So, yeah, a couple of them said, you know, they probably was thinking, you know, can't blame them in a way. But why they want to find that gun.
They so wanted to shoot the usher after you told them about him.
Yeah, I want to kick his ass. Oh, God. But anyway, I said, you know, I can't blame the kid. You know, I mean, he really got nervous. He had his mother, father there, you know.
The usher.
A stretcher, you know, because he was all nervous. You know, he's going to get shot by a gun. You know, yeah, oh, yeah, Dillinger's on a move again. Oh, God.
The ushers. That's the best one. When somebody's bullying you, and then, like, their parents have to come get them, and they take them away on a stretcher because they're scared.
You know, putting the pressure on me. So, anyway, I told him what a gun was. They got the gun, they looked at it. It's true what he said. You know, there's nothing. This gun hasn't been fired in 100 years. I said, it's 99. Oh, you're smart ass, too, huh? I said, no, but I said, it hasn't been fired. I told you, like I said, we put a scare into the guy. And he's always with that club. He's going to hit us. You shouldn't be sneaking in the show. And I said, well, we don't have the money to get in the show. So, Anyway, he said, who are your friends? I said, what friends? Yeah, it was with a bunch of friends. He said, it was in the guys with you. I said, I don't remember that. I said, you guys have gone, what do you want? You going to give me a chair or what? Yeah. So he said, where's the guy? What's his name? And I didn't tell. You know, all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and they gave themselves up.
All your friends gave themselves
up. Yeah, they gave themselves up. We was with them, you know, and this is what happened. So we went to jail overnight. In the morning, we seen Judge McGuire. That was Jay's friend, mother's boyfriend, and he let us off.
So your friend was right. He knew a judge.
Nothing happened, and he understands the story, what happened, but we shouldn't do that. And next time, we might go to San Quentin. So
to San Quentin. Not to Rahway State Prison, but they're going to send you all the way to San Quentin.
Yeah. Oh, God. But I think it was a good scare. We never did that again, but we still snuck in the show.
The same place?
The same place.
The same usher? Did he quit?
No, he wasn't there. I think he didn't like that place anymore.
he went into a mental institution. He drove him nuts.
I don't know, but I think he got a scare from there. But we used to go in the other ones, the New, the Liberty.
It's like a real life Bowery Boys story, you know.
You think of it, you know. I could have really got shot.
Oh, the cops could have killed you.
You know, if they seen that gun in my hand or something, you don't know. You know what could have happened. You know, the judge was telling us.
Yeah, it's a good thing you threw it away.
Judge, but you know, even the cops, you know, they said, you know.
But you got about 3 minutes, Rob.
Yes, sir.
But you know, hey, I seen Dracula too. Remember, I told you.
Yeah, Bela Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi.
He was live on stage, right?
Don't be afraid of the dark. Yeah, Liberty. Yeah, he was came out of the coffin. Girls were screaming, yelling, running out.
Running out, and he came out of the coffin. They ran out of the theater.
they ran out. A lot of them. Yeah, they were scared. Frankenstein looked like Frankenstein.
They had a Frankenstein and Bela Lugosi showed up to introduce a movie.
Well, Bela Lugosi, he was really, he was, you know, that was him. He was going to appear there, so he did.
Do you think that was the main attraction? Was it that Bela Lugosi was going to be there? Was it just the movie? Is that enough?
No, that was the main attraction. It was a horror movies, you know. I call them horror movies at that time. You know, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, and all that. Yeah, it's different. Then after that came, their real bloody ones come. You know, heads off and eating raw meat, the guts of people.
Yeah,
this is different. You know, just. Different.
He's talking about the old Universal
the girls
films.
They were scared, you know. The Wolfman, when he started turning into all hairs all around him. Oh, God. But that was great days, you know. I enjoyed them.
Well, we're...
A lot of incidents. I didn't even tell you half of the incidents.
Well, we'll have you come back on, because we're running out of time on the show here.
Yeah, okay.
And he said to me, I don't think... I go, Dad, you got to come on the show. He goes, I don't think I'm going to do a whole hour. Forget that. I don't know. I'll be on a whole hour talking. And meanwhile, we're done.
No.
See how fast it goes?
Yeah, well, I stopped telling, you know, things that happened to me. And let somebody else talk, you know.
Well, good. No. We're out of time, practically.
Out of time? Okay.
Mr. Ree can't even give his movie reviews.
I gladly defer my movie reviews to. I love hearing these stories. I have one question for you, Harry. Dirty Harry. Did you notice a shift in horror films? I mean, you saw the tame horror films, the Universal ones, and the Draculas and everything. But then, did you notice when things just suddenly got gory? I mean, did you remember a movie that you saw? Like Blood Feast or something like that, where it was just completely a different, almost a different genre?
It was different. I mean, it wasn't too gory. But them movies. You're talking about being gory?
He wants to know. Like, he wants to know what he's asked. He's not a film critic, Mr. Ree. He wants to know if you remember when movies changed from being boring and tame, you know, without any gore, to being bloody. Like what year? When was it?
60s.
In the 60s.
Late 60s, I think it was.
You don't remember what movie?
Oh wait, Psycho. When Psycho came out, that was a little bit gorier than, you know.
That's the Wolfman, right? When you saw the blood and everything going into the tub.
Mm-hmm. Then all the knife stabbing and it started, I think, around there with you know, Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a huge jump between Psycho and something like Mother's Day or something.
Yeah.
Oh, Mother's Day. Yeah. Well, cool. I don't know. I think that came later.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
That
was great. That was crazy.
You gotta come back in a couple weeks, Dad. Because I know you've been watching The Walking Dead, and I know you wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, The Walking Dead. They're still walking, but you know, don't get tired.
I think Dirty Harry is a Shane guy, and I think Mr. Ree, you're a Rick guy. That's what I think. Just by knowing both of you, that's what I think. But we'll save that for another show. We have to wrap it up. Mr. Ree, any movie recommendations? Just names of movies that people can get? Just names of movies. Quickly, no reviews.
Names of movies. I should save the reviews until...
You're so by the book. Didn't know Bloodsucking Nazi Zombies just come out?
Oh. Yeah, but if I just say the title, then what's the point? Bloodsucking Nazi Zombies...
came out on DVD. Is it good or is it
bad? It's a retitling of Oasis of the Zombies, Just Franco, if you're a Franco fan.
And you can get it at bmovie.com, our sponsor of our show, Movies Hate You. I didn't even do a pause for the identification here because we've been having such a good time with Dirty Harry, a.k.a. my dad.
You made my day.
Okay. You made our day by coming on here, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Nice meeting you guys.
Yeah.
Great to meet you.
You too, Rob. Nice meeting you.
It was nice to meet you, Dad. We're going to do a part two, and we'll talk about zombie movies, and we'll get some movie reviews in. This is Movies Hate You, sponsored by bmovies.com. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mr. Ree, a.k.a. Lee Peterson. And, of course, Occupy Jackalope's favorite person, Mr. Todd Sheets. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
No, thank you. We'll see you all again very soon. Movies Hate You at gmail.com. Bye.